Welcome to Friday Breakdown. It's Failure to Stop Friday Breakdown. Failure to Stop, the number one channel where first responders go to be informed and entertained 5 days a week. We got society and culture news on Monday, true crime Tuesday, political news on Wednesday, sports on Thursday, and then case breakdowns on Friday. Got a special guest for you guys today. Got an old buddy of mine that I used to work with. His name is K9 Dave, at least that's what I call him. And he is now the VP of the United States K9 Friends of, I don't know. I don't know what he is, but we're going to meet him and you're going to learn all about it. Pretty epic case that we have. It's coming out of Jacksonville, Florida today to break down. It's a K9 case. Spoiler, nope, I won't give any spoiler alerts. Today's show brought to you by GhostBed.com, Factor Meals, and The Wellness Company. Let's just get into it. Hit it, Joshua.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours.
This is Sunday. About the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
All guns up, giddy up. The live chats are looking good. There are a bunch of you guys over in the live chats already. Michael Hendricks, Low Rin, Tactical Dude. I think a guy like Tactical Dude's going to like this case because there's a lot of tactical stuff in it. We got Tyler from Anti-Hero Podcast in studio. In his studio, which is great. Fulkinator's in the chats, though. Diesel Tech Bosco, Sarah Kelch. I'm not going to do this all day. Mur530 keeps going up there. Pot Roast Malone. Diesel. Yeah, thank you guys for being in the chats. This is going to be a banger of a show. There's a lot of stuff here to have fun with. Like last week, we're a little loosey-goosey. Probably going to be a little bit loosey-goosey this week because I've got a very old friend of mine who I used to work with. Special treat. By the way, I don't know if we're going to have time. If we do have time today, I'll do a Patreon special with story time with Dave. If not, we're getting back in here at some point for the Patreon. So if you want to become a Patreon member, tons of extra content on our Patreon. It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks, $3 a month, right? So be a Patreon. That's how we pay most of these people. By the way, Deadleg's producing for us today. So thank you, Deadleg. Reginald Rutherford in the chat says, thank you to whoever gifted me a membership last week. Wow. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, guys. It's always good. Armory Knights in here, guys. Good to see you. What was last up on Anti-Hero Podcast before we jump into this?
Man, the one we just released was a, at the beginning of the week, I can't say what he did. You have to use context clues to figure out his old occupation. However,
okay.
He exposed the downfall of Afghanistan and how botched it was when we left. And then, of course, Brent called out another figure in the special operations realm. So.
Oh, does it rhyme with Jim Slinity?
Yeah. And then on Monday we're releasing the fall of the LAPD.
Oh, that's a good one. And that's with
Marlon.
He's been on our show before. I think he's coming back on for another one. But yeah, the exposing of the LAPD, that's epic. So I got a good case today, though. It's coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. It's got a lot. It's just got a lot. And I wanted to call one of my old buddies who is a tactical canine guru, tons of experience in the canine world, and just a overall generally good person. So I brought him in here. Just go ahead and introduce yourself since I've already fucked it up enough. Oh, am I allowed to cuss? To cuss in front of you?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're about to retire. Company man. We have a real company man here. He's about to retire.
I have it tattooed on me.
No. So, all right. Tell us really quick. Where are you from? You don't have to tell us where you're from, but like, where did you get your start? Where did you get your finish?
Yeah. I started professionally canine handling dogs in the Marine Corps. And then joined the Raleigh Police Department after the Corps. And 17 years... canine here, 20 years in special operations, and now lead.
Yeah, and more importantly, like 8 years with me, which if you worked with me for 8 years, that's pretty much a 30-year career.
I should have retired. Wrap it up.
Well, he's got tons of canine experience and tons of tactical experience too. If you go anywhere in this state and you mention that you're a Raleigh police officer, or you could go to other states like Ohio State or any other state, and you tell them that you worked at Raleigh, almost inevitably somebody will go, I know this is stupid. I know this is crazy. And I hate when people do this, but do you by chance know
a Green, a canine handler named Green. You guys, a legend. If you can't go into an Irish bar anywhere, not in Boston, which is, I think, originally where you're from, or anywhere, without this guy kind of being a kind of a bigger than life Montreal. He's pretty much a legend in the field. So pretty stoked to have him. It's not. I mean, I've been into many bars. I think that, you know, there's not a lot of guys that can walk into a bar and start a conversation to the entire bar with, "What's up, fuckers?" And everybody's like, "Hey." If I did that, the manager would be like, "Get out. Try that again. Maybe cut him off already." And I haven't even been there. But you can go into a bar and be like, "What's up, fuckers?" And everybody's like, "Hey, hey, 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 hey." Which is, you know, it's a pretty...
It's because everybody wants to see Santa Claus.
He does have a very Santa Claus-esque beard. And my wife, my kids were like, "Dad, is that Santa?" But anyway, you guys got anybody like that in the Orlando area? Got any legends?
Yeah. Just you? Yeah, no. I don't know. I stay away from the old timers. No offense.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that Dave...
I'm still full of piss and vinegar, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say that Dave is definitely not an old-timer. he's got legendary status because of the way... I think that there's just, like, very little fucks given, which it's a really cool trait to have. I wish more people had that, but there's nobody else I'd rather ever work with or I felt safer around than Dave. And he makes quite a few appearances in my book. So when you guys get the book, you can figure out who he is. I won't disclose his name, but
when's that coming out?
Looks like it's, I mean, I'm not supposed to officially say anything yet, but the publishing house is, like, just going slower than molasses, but I believe it's January 1st. So, but there's going to be a big giant thing. It's all going through its legal phase right now. And they said that could take 3 to 6 months or past that 3 months mark. I was actually told, though, because my book was fairly simple, that it was going to go even quicker. It hasn't. So it hasn't gone quicker. So, but as soon as that comes, then the website, all the things were released. So, really excited. But let's jump into today's case out of Jacksonville, Florida. You and I went to Jacksonville, Florida. We did a show with Ken Shamrock in Jacksonville. So you're a little bit, you're at least familiar with, and we had a Jacksonville canine with us at that show. Remember that big fucking, he bought one of your shirts, gnarly Jack dude with all the tattoos.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's there with this really, really pretty girl, which is his wife. I think you were looking at her real hard. I'm just kidding.
You're going to get me beat up by a fucking cop.
So anyway, I reached out to them and they were all about it. And he was like, "Yo, that's an awesome case, blah, 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 blah." And he's like, "But really quick, like, it's an open investigation." He's like, Let me ask if I can talk about it yet or not. And it came back, "Yo, dude, this is a bummer, but it's, like, still an open case. And I can't say anything because, you know, he may or may not be, you know, in some way involved or not." All these canine guys, I guess, like, when something serious happens, like, probably guys who train the canine and everything like that, you guys get wrapped up into the case?
Everything from the initial trainer to the chief of police can fall into civil liability.
Yeah. So, and in this case, so I was like, "You know what? It's fine. I got another dude. I can get him to help me break it down." And he's far, far attached from the case. So, so we brought him in here. Are you familiar with this case at all?
You talking to me? Yeah, a little bit. The biggest question I had, which is, we'll get into, is probably what everybody had, is the deployment of the dog when he had the knife. And I know different agencies do different things, but they recognized that he had a knife pretty much the entire time since he took off on foot. I didn't know if that was their policy to deploy when he had a knife like that. Or
yeah, let's not jump the gun. We'll get into it. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And you suck on it for a minute, because I feel like if we go over that now, then it kind of, you know, then you just can check out for the rest of the day, because you know, that's the kit and caboodle there. So let's, Josh, if you would, hey, can we paint the totality of this case? Josh, do you know what brought us to this point? We have a barricaded subject, domestic violence related case real early in the morning. Do you know anything more than that, Josh?
I know that I pulled the assets for this, but I didn't look too far into the case. I know that they were there before and there was some mental health issues suspected going on, and that he already had a knife beforehand.
So typically when we do these breakdowns, I try to give everybody the totality of this, the situation, because we're not here to Monday morning quarterback. I try to give you like the weather and, you know, like all the things leading up to it. But today's case, I'm not really like quarterbacking anybody. And I this really doesn't have anything to do with the suspect. It's more to do with all the cool toys and all the cool deployment and engagement of all the things. Again, if you guys remember the first case that I ever covered with the Rook, we had Donut Operator on, and they had deployed like a drone. Like a flying drone, they flew it through the house to figure out where the suspect was. Then they deployed a robot to like secure one of the doors in the garage. And then they used the Rook to like tear the garage down. And then they used a sniper to shoot the dude. And then they flew the drone back in to make sure the dude was dead. And then they deployed the SWAT team. So it's like, this is another one of those kind of cases where it's just, you have all the cool guy toys and you get to play with them. And matter of fact, speaking of cool guy toys, I just got a official Raleigh Police Bomb Squad hat, which they have all the toys.
They do.
The Bomb Squad has some pretty badass toys.
Only second to SWAT. SWAT gets everything.
Yeah, they
get. Yeah. Rook. I mean, we're Rook. Come on.
Yeah. We got a bear cat. So let's go ahead and play the video really quick, and then we're going to go through it. By the way, they gassed this dude first, which is their first toy. We'll talk about getting gassed, and then they're also going to deploy. We'll just play the tape. We'll play the tape real quick.
The video.
Hey, pause it really quick. All right. So what we have is we have the SWAT vehicle lined up right now. Does anybody know how we got to this point? Dave, do you know a lot about this case?
So all these toys have been brought out because this guy actually, it's a long-term domestic incident. He's dated this girl. She broke up with him in 2022. She goes so far as to move because of him.
Oh,
he breaks into her Google email account, finds conversation with her realtor, figures out where she now lives, goes to her house. And from December until this date, it continually escalates to a point where he breaks into her roll up door of her garage. This is this incident, and then kicks in the door to her home. And it actually had a security bar across it. He was so willing to break into here. He breaks the door down, breaks the security bar, yada, yada, yada. 10-hour standoff and kidnapping.
Damn. So kidnapping. So there's kind of almost a hostage situation here.
Yeah. This is a home invasion that turns into, situation basically. So now you have all the toys, right? You've opened up Pandora's box.
Yeah.
She is so afraid to call the police. She's texting with a friend. That's how they communicate with her. She's able to escape through, I think it's either a bathroom or a bedroom.
Bathroom window, I think is what it was.
Yeah, and get away. Now we have containment on just the suspect.
Okay, and so that's why they're allowed to deploy the gas.
Yeah, so this has gone on 10 hours. Negotiators have been called in, all the assets like you've talked about. And now we've gone to pressing the suspect.
So like how long do they take for like hostage negotiation? Like what? Like is there like a standard amount of time? Or when do they just say like, fuck this, like let's go?
Yeah, I don't think you can, especially nowadays. You've got civil liability you got to worry about. You've got, is this going anywhere? If he's in his own home, it may take longer, but he's in somebody else's home. So
right.
At some point they're like, this guy, on top of that, this guy also had ag assault, armed robbery warrants, tampering with a witness, battery, stalking. These were active warrants prior to this incident. So the suspect is a bad dude.
Yeah. Now, Florida also is like very kind of wild, wild west when it comes to law enforcement. You talk to any law enforcement, Tyler, you're in the Orlando area. You guys kind of have a lot of freeway.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so, but I mean, it's the same as just like he was saying, like when you're gonna act on a hostage situation and go completely operational instead of negotiation, it's like there has to be something. Like I've been there once where they moved in, and it, you know, out of all the times that we stood out there for 10 hours, luckily in this case though, they knew he was inside, because I've been out there for 10 hours and there's a 70% chance he's inside, and there's a 30% chance he's not even there, and you're surrounding and you're breaking down a house to like you're breaking down a house to its original core, breaking walls down, gassing it, and then you find out there was nobody there.
That's embarrassing. How long do you think they would have done a standoff in your area for somebody to get for a guy like this?
They would have done everything they would have checked the last corner of the attic for this, you know, because it's like you said, you know, I've been to ones where they've done things like this, but it was a mutual home. So there was no type of home invasion. There was no type of anything. And, you know, it was an ag assault, which is in Florida. An assault is an action or a statement. Battery is when you actually touch somebody with your hand or a weapon. So ag assault is me pointing a gun at your face. Aggravated battery is me shooting you. So ag assault, it depends. But I've been to one where she was like, oh, he pointed a gun at my face. So we surround it. It turns out he discharged the gun into the floor and didn't mean to threaten her. And she was like, oh, yeah, I didn't really feel threatened. He's just an idiot. And we broke down the perimeter, and then they just filed charges on him for a misdemeanor.
Catherine in the live chat brings up a good point. Too bad the ex-girlfriend didn't conceal carry. Yeah, there you go. And I think in Florida, it's like open carry. So, yeah.
It's not open carry. Stuff.
Slick Montana says patrol containment in the beginning is absolutely key. And it is now in this case, I don't think they bring the house down. Somebody else was concerned, like, did the PD buy this house? I don't think they brought it down with the Rook. I think they just deployed gas into it, which I think the gas probably comes out of a house, right? Eventually. Just get some new furniture, maybe some new carpet. Does it ruin a house as a gas? By the way, if you've never been gassed, anybody that's been in the military has been gassed. I think we got a couple of pictures here. It's basically like OC. It's like OC spray. It's like pepper spray, but like in a smoke form. It makes you cough. It makes you choke. You can't breathe. Your eyes burn incredibly bad. And, you know, like, it doesn't kill you, but it comes pretty damn close.
It's the friend that keeps on giving. It's a fine powder. And when you go back and shower later, it's there again.
Yeah, for like three more days.
Boom, yeah. I'm
like, hey. Like, no sex.
Good to see you.
No, I forgot jerking off. Yeah. None of that comes
after.
It's like
after. This guy. He keeps coming around.
So you gas somebody, they're pretty much going to get out pretty daggone quick. Now, they bring in this Rook to deploy all this, which throw up some pictures of the Rook. A lot of people still don't know what a Rook is. Do you guys have a Rook where you're at?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, put a picture of the Rook up there, Deadleg. Look at this thing. So this thing is basically, I mean, whoever invented this is like a man after my own heart. I used to work on these things, bobcats, essentially, when I was a teenager. Not the Rooks, but just a regular bobcat. And I always said to myself, like, what if you had like a whole infantry division inside of one of these bobcats with like 240s and stuff? And then somebody literally did that. They created a bobcat, they armored the shit out of it, and they made a whole bunch of accoutrements and attachments to the daggone thing. This thing has, it's got a ram, so it can ram anything. It has what's called the claw. I think I have a picture of the claw on there. Now, they used the claw in a blizzard this year. Remember the big blizzards in California where everybody was like snowed in, like 20 feet? They were moving cars off the interstate and like, look at this thing. Wow. They were just picking cars up, you know, and moving them because people were trapped.
That's wild.
So, so it does have like a selling point of it's more than just like a destructing thing. It can also lift. This is its bulletproof capability. So you could drive right up to a house, take a whole bunch of rounds. Now, I believe this might be from that case that we covered with Donut Operator when we had him on, the case where they drove up to the house because the dude was shooting an AK at it the whole time. And then we have another picture. So this is one of my favorite parts of the Rook, where it can elevate like a whole squad up to a second floor. So you don't have to fight the stairwell. Check that
out. Have you ever talked to somebody that's operated a Rook before?
No.
So here's the thing. SWAT team culture. No one wants to fucking operate that Rook. They all want to be door kickers, right?
Yeah.
So who's operating the Rook? The fucking new guy.
Yep.
The new guy who's sitting there getting yelled at over comms. He's got to balance. He's got to do the perfect height. The perfect height. Like, it has to be where, and he's using the guy that's given him like up, so he can get the perfect angle. Then he's got to balance the platform based off the weight. It's insane. I always felt bad listening to those dudes. Like, I'm trying.
Dude, and those things can get pretty herky-jerky. You know, like, the hydraulics are super sensitive. So it's like, you know, like.
You know, during the SWAT community showers, there's some conversation about the Rook.
Yeah.
There's a laugh from Tyler. He's like, community showers. I love it.
Yeah. I got whiplash because you can't fucking work the hydraulics on that rook, you know.
Was the idea of that born out of Killdozer?
Gosh, I mean, right? What a legend. Killdozer. Like, more and more I wake up every day and I like relate to that guy. Like, I'm like, he's not as bad as a person as.
Wish I had a John Deere G85 dozer.
Yeah. Dude, you never know. Like, the government keeps fucking with me and my taxes and everything. One day I might be building my own. I'm just kidding. I'm not. By the way, government, federal government, I literally am too stupid to create something as cool as Killdozer. But if I was smart, then you could watch after me. But yeah, so the Rook's got like all these things. They could tear down like an entire house with this bad boy. I just think it's such an epic tool to be used. But anyway, they deploy this Rook, they deploy the gas, and go ahead and play the video. All right, I got a canine question. So the dog is, you know, from a layperson, I'm not a canine guy. I don't even like dogs. For the most part, why is the dog whining?
So there's a lot going on around him, and he's done training with these guys, obviously. So he recognizes something's about to happen. Now, I would argue that, and I'm not here to judge X, Y, or Z. Like, if that were my dog, I would want a quieter dog. SWAT guys don't want dogs announcing that they're about to do things. So we spend an exorbitant amount of time teaching our dogs to be quiet around a lot of exciting, fun things.
Okay.
So
the dog, now, is the dog excited. Stressed? Is he stressed out?
It's not that he's stressed. Malinois have a nuclear power plant inside them.
Okay.
Wanting to explode.
Okay.
So they're trying to contain that energy that's about to explode, because from hundreds of reps in training, they recognize something good is about to happen.
So but the difference between a Malinois and a Shepherd and a dead leg, there should be some assets in there for you. As far as like Malinois, can you explain really quick like the difference between a Malinois and a Shepherd? And you can throw up those pictures that are in the assets.
So I'm you either have a German Shepherd or a police dog guy. Malinois are police dogs, Shepherds are pets. But you know, sorry for everyone that loves their GSDs, but I'm a Malinois guy. They're the same animal. If you go and select the proper genetically sound dog, you're going to get the same results. I'm a Malinois guy through and through. So
yeah, I never really see German Shepherds jump up onto countertops or like climb up cabinets to get on top of cabinets. But I've been on some searches with your dog where it's like, if there is a countertop to get on top of, like that dog wants to get on and wants to keep going. So it's like, I've seen his dog like climb cabinets to get on top of cabinets. Very bizarre. Is that something that just Malinois
are
like?
Aware of their well-being, and Malinois are like, yeet. Let's do this.
What's your take on, before we get into this, we play it again, what's your take on tactical canines? Because there's a lot of, my agency included, one of the biggest agencies in Central Florida does not, their team trains with Navy SEALs. They train with Delta. They train with all the special operations. And the first thing that these places ask is, why don't you have a less than lethal option for canine? And I've asked that too. And from what I've been told, it's just a lot of who's in charge when it comes to a tactical canine. Is it canine or is it SWAT? And, you know, I've always thought that that was a really good, you know, for squirters. You know, nowadays SWAT teams, they don't go after squirters. You know, it's the team's responsibility to secure the house and secure everybody inside. It's really the detectives in the perimeter's responsibility to detain anybody that goes running, especially if their face is on the debrief. So what's your take on that?
So the short answer is that's an entire episode on its own, but that's the long answer. The short answer is I'm a huge advocate of canine SWAT integration, and I'm a big advocate of team dogs. My agency is close to some guys on the backside of Bragg. And I've had the opportunity to get dogs from those guys. And I have extremely good friends down there. So what happened with our SWAT team is after Uvalde, we recognized, like, why are these guys waiting to go into that classroom, right? And if I had a less lethal option to divert that guy's attention, we could have gone in there much faster, right?
No, even though there was 22 kids on the floor, that dog would not give a fuck?
No, you can... dogs have so much more capability than we give them credit for. It's just how much training do you want to put into that dog?
Because we watched, because we want, we did a breakdown last week or week before last. Remember the canine we like actually played with the suspect. Yeah. So I mean, maybe like go back and explain to us, like, these dogs can ignore these 22 kids. I mean, some dogs, I guess, right? Like, or are you taking the chance that you're going to let this dog go and it's going to like start licking kids that are laying on the ground?
So here's the thing, like, our idea is that the dog is going to make the team safer and the team is going to make the dog safer. Tyler, we breach, bang, and dog on HR stuff. And in this situation with Uvalde, for example, I don't want to get us off track.
No, you're fine. Get us off track. We could, I could care less. Go take us off track. Take us off track.
So for an example, I could use a lab and toss a Kong into that same classroom. And for those of you that aren't watching us, the suspect's point of aim is immediately going to change to the moving object, the dog. So once that breach occurs, we would throw a bang. A dog would be deployed. That's the second diversionary device, the bang being the first. Now the point of aim goes from the obvious point of entry that the team is going to follow, and the suspect gets nuked by the good guys that follow the dog.
Interesting.
So, and when I tell you that 100% of the time the suspect gets neutralized, the dog doesn't get hurt, it's 100% of the time. Now this is a properly trained dog and team that have timing down like that,
right, and that comes with like a bigger agency, and the agency that we covered a couple weeks ago was a five-man agency.
Yeah.
and the female was literally getting instructions on how to use her dog via the telephone on the way. So that's much different case and scenario. Anything else to add before we keep playing the video? So the dog's just excited. So
did that answer your question, Tyler? That's a
lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
that does.
And by the way, this is in April in Florida, which means it's dog shit hot, right? Is it hot in Florida in April?
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially in Jacksonville. But, you know, you get the ocean breeze, you know, in Jacksonville. That's what they say, the ocean breeze.
It's not quite the depths of hell yet, like June, July, and August.
Yeah. I grew up very close to Jacksonville, Florida, so I'm very familiar with this area. Go ahead and hit play. We don't have to stop it, but everybody else is masked up because the dog is off about the OC.
It doesn't affect the dog like it affects us.
Okay.
I'm just trying to feel it. The dog thinks it's a wall, you just have to train through it.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so let's just stop really quick, because, you know, 99% of people that are fans here are listeners. So it's a little bit windy. They're all facing the house. There's a SWAT team obviously loaded up. They're all wearing OD green. The dog is ready to go, and they say he's running. He's running parallel he's not running at the SWAT team. He's running away from the SWAT team, but like horizontally away. So like, if this was north, he's running west.
Interesting. They use the rook to push him. If you hear them, they use the rook. They break through the backyard fencing that he's in to push him towards the team, was the idea.
Right. And he takes off running, and he's going to find a gate to get out of. But now he's on the move. The dog is on the move. And I'm getting like the team does a really good job of staying behind the dog, which I guess that's kind of like common sense, but yeah, not to everybody.
We always have a team member as cover. They get assigned to us and they don't leave us.
Yeah. Yeah. But nobody's in front of the dog. So like generally the dog's not going to accidentally bite him, you know?
Speaking, you don't want
that. So that they're doing a pretty good job here. Let's go ahead and hit play. So they're just running and the dog is running. Around the front. Okay. So stop right here. What was his trigger to let the dog go?
I think the guy finally cleared that fence.
And he just said, go.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to Tyler's question.
Yeah.
They knew he had a knife. He's running with a knife. They say he's running with a knife. The guy appears with the knife. What is your, you know, what do you do as a canine handler in that situation?
What do I do? Or do we explain what he did? That's two different questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can go through both of them. Like,
so how I explain to young officers and our team is the dog isn't a sacrifice. The dog is not a sacrifice. I don't want to just send the dog on an armed suspect, whether it's a knife or a firearm. There's no reason to get a dog hurt when we can contain them. in this situation, it looked like there was pretty good containment. The rook is around back. You've got a house on one side, a house on the other. He's not going to Spider-Man the wall to get to the roof. And you got, obviously, there's tag team members on both sides of the guy. This is a tough judgment call, split second call that the canine handler made. And we saw this is a bad dude. So they're trying to stop him before more, he gets to do more bad dude stuff. So he releases the dog. It's a containment tool. It's a standoff tool for us. And hopefully, ideally, it's a less lethal tool that keeps us from going to deadly force. In this case, it didn't work. We'll keep going with it. But generally speaking, I don't teach, nor would you deploy on an armed suspect.
What about you, Tyler? Do you have anything to add on that?
No, that was
a SWAT guy.
That was kind of my take on it too. I've never seen that before, but I didn't know if maybe, like he said, it was just a fuck it, you know, like maybe he saw something like an escape route, and he was like, this guy's gonna go hurt more people, and you know, if he had a knife and he was running into a grocery store and he's like, I'm going to fucking kill the first person I touch. Maybe that dog is like, hey, I got to send the dog. The dog now is going to be like, I would sacrifice myself before somebody at the grocery store had to. Maybe that's a decision, but I didn't know.
You know, do we really get critical in a 10-hour standoff? You know, Tyler, they're going to have the residents all around evacuated.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and there's an inner and outer perimeter. So I got to believe this is the inner perimeter. So there's more officers, even 100, 25, 50 yards surrounding them. I don't know. I never want to say always and never.
And I can get into that. Like I can get, I want to get into it. But first, to make a good decision, it starts with getting a good night's sleep. And that's why we're proud to partner with Ghostbed, baby. Ghostbed.com/Wolfpack50, 50% off. You guys know, you've heard it a couple of times, but listen, this is a company that said we want to give 50% off to first responders. We love your ad read about keeping first responders' mental health in check by getting a good night's sleep. And I was like, yeah, but the problem is we have a lot of like non-law enforcement people that listen to the show. And they were like, you know what? That's too difficult. 50% across the board, blanketed it, veterans. You know, we just know that the people that are listening to us are big supporters. So we're going to go for it, guys. They got the adjustable base, the cooling mattress, the cooling pillows. I travel almost every single weekend. And so that ghost bed pillow has really become my home away from home. I do not travel. I have my own ghost bed pillow just for traveling. I even bought like a plastic zipper case to keep my ghost bed pillow in so I can travel with it. You know, you've seen it, Tyler. Big fan of ghost beds, 0% down, 0% financing. And that's even if you have canine officer credit. So head over to ghostbed.com, use the promo code and get you sleep so good it's scary. Also, you can't be a well-rounded cop if you're not having good night's sleep and you don't have a good diet. And that's why factormeals.com/Wolfpack50, 50% off on your meals. This is meal planning to the next level. Hundreds of menu items. You can see them up on the screen right now. They've even got steak, chicken. They got vegan options, vegetarian options. While your squad mates are in the squad room eating like peasants with their bologna sandwiches and their peanut butter and jelly, or they're going to Subway to dine with the pedo Jared. Was that his name? Was Jared from Subway?
Jared Fogel.
What's that?
Jared Fogel.
Yeah, Jared Fogel. Listen, you ain't got to do all that. You could be sitting in your squad room with a really nice factor meal that you planned out. So you don't have to go to the grocery store. You don't have to fire up the oven and cook a whole bunch of different things and try to find your Pyrex dishes and all the lids and all the what. Just go to Factor Meals. Let them do the meal planning. You get on there once a week. You pick out your meals from the week. They get delivered to your door fresh, not frozen. They come with this little cool like Nordic ice pack that keeps the whole little cooler clean. You unload your meals right into the refrigerator, put them in the microwave for 2 minutes. It's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You've got a great meal that's either calorie conscious, protein heavy, if you want to get jacked like me, or, you know, you can go the whole vegan, vegetarian route. They got the breakfast shakes and they got it all. So head over to factormeals.com and get started on a diet that's good for you, keeps you well-rounded. And then we have the wellness company. Super excited to have the wellness company because, you know, I'm an end of the days kind of guy. We didn't reach out to them. They reached out to us, which is super killer. This is Dr. McCullough, Dr. Drew, all the dudes that you've heard on Rogan started a end of days med kit. They've got a travel med kit. They got the end of days med kit. This is all your ivermectin, your monoclonal antibodies, your Z-packs, your penicillins, all the things. So that like, if you're trying to, they pre-prescribe them to you. That way, if you're out, you know, in survival mode, the zombie apocalypse happens, this solar flare, that is coming our way, which I Tanisher Domus predicts is going to be here right around election season. That's when it's going to knock out the grid. They're already talking about it. It's the next big thing, this solar flare. You don't have to fight the zombie meth heads who are hitting the Walgreens and the CVS's trying to steal everything on the shelves. You already have all the meds for you and your family pre-prescribed to you. Head over to thewellnesscompany.com/Wolfpack. Use the promo code Wolfpack, 10% off, and go ahead and start collecting on those end of days meds. That way, if you get your spider bites, you know, Lord forbid, you get some kind of bug or virus or something like that, you don't have to go out and fight the zombie apocalypse. You'll have your meds right there at home. So, okay, now we're getting to the good part of the story here. Homeboy releases this dog. We already talked about the containment. Now, here's my theory on this. When I was watching this, you're there for 10 hours. That sucks. You're bored. That sucks. Then things start to happen. When you see a rook and you hear a rook, your heart starts beating a little bit faster. It's like when you're in a gunfight and you hear the A-10 flying over. You know what I mean? Like, you're starting to get, I don't want to say erected, but you're getting erected. Now the rook fires up. Now you start hearing it deal out some carnage in the backyard. Like, isn't it in the back of your head? I know that the discipline is there because you guys are well-disciplined officers, but there's a little part of you that's like, oh, I got to get in this. I'm going to get in this.
Everybody wants to touch the bear.
Right? Everybody wants to touch the bear. We make fun of it, but you want to get into it. So you got that on your mind. Now you're starting to run and move with the dog. And you're like, here we go, here we go, here we go. You know, that probably plays a little part in why you let that dog go pretty quick. You know what I mean? Like,
you hope not, but yeah.
It's just natural, right? No? Do you fight it?
There's always a canine SWAT. Like, I want to be first. And yeah, maybe it was that day for the canine, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Now, listen, Jacksonville Sheriff's Department, they're no slouch of a department. They're very well-funded. They're very big, and they have all the toys. So these guys train actually really, really hard. I'm friends with a lot of the Jacksonville guys, and they get a lot of action. I mean, Moncrief Road alone probably generates more calls than some states do in the United States. Moncrief Road is very dangerous in Florida and Jacksonville, Florida. So these guys get a lot of action. So you know, they're no slouches. So they let this dog go. Let's go and play and see what happens. He's speaking Malinois. I don't know. I don't speak Malinois. So I don't know what the dog is saying. It's French. So he's speaking French. The dog is speaking French.
Dutch dog. I'm
just kidding. What? That dog is so fast.
Don't let him stab him! Don't let him stab him!
Okay.
Boss.
This is the meat and potatoes of our episode, right?
Yeah.
That 5-second clip. So let's get into the laws of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you shoot somebody who's trying to kill your dog?
The short answer is no.
Really?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm not saying that they are wrong in this situation. This is an open investigation still. I looked it up on whatever Florida's DOJ is. It's still open. Here's the thing. The dog is, no one's going to like this. Be prepared. This isn't necessarily my thought process. This is the reality of it. The dog is a piece of property. It is not a human being.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's how courts and everybody except for the liberalist of PETA people will say, the dog is a piece of equipment. And I cannot take a human life for the dog.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler. I see your.
Yeah, we're all like, I'm dumbfounded.
I would have lost.
Like, if somebody's trying to kill my dog, I can't fucking kill them.
So here, let me set up a few things, right?
Okay.
I've got a case where I can show you where I feel it's a super justified shooting. And then we can talk about case law. So case law is super simple. There's a case where a car chase is occurring. At the end of the car chase, the canine handler deploys his dog. The dog comes out from the passenger side. The driver bails out his door, and the suspect points his gun towards the canine. Now,
we've covered this case.
Have you?
Yes.
This is a really old case.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It happens almost like a gas station parking lot?
Nope, but that's the one I want to reference.
Okay, never mind.
So this one's an even older case, and the suspect is shot by the officer. Now, the court said in that immediate moment, the officer had no threat against him or a third person. person. The threat was against an animal, a dog. Now, I whether I agree with it or not, we're not going to get into the weeds of that because that's a whole other story.
Sure.
And morally or ethically, I'm not going to get into that right now either. We can cover it with this specific thing. But what the courts have said is you cannot sacrifice, you cannot kill a human being just for the defense of a dog.
Wow.
And in that very specific moment, they didn't say that that officer had a threat to himself or a third party. So now think about all the cases that you've talked about.
Yeah.
We go so far. So let me even set it up further. We go so far as I teach in, let's just say, a SWAT environment. We do a building search where we've given our warnings. We've done our threshold evaluation with the dog, and I send the dog into the building. The dog engages a suspect. Think of a long hallway. You can see the dog enter a room. The dog engages a suspect. The suspect comes out of that room and is aggressively stabbing your dog. I have a scenario where this is occurring. Mm-hmm. If I move forward, I create the threat to myself. And the courts are going to go, especially in the civil litigious world that we're in now, they're going to go, you created this deadly force encounter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what we teach now is even in that high threat, high stress environment that the dog is in, we recall our dog. And now we have the suspect. The dog was used as a locating tool to begin with.
Right.
Right. That's the initial use of a dog in a building search. It's not a use of force. The suspect decides whether force is applied to them, just like any other police encounter. The suspect decides whether force is used or not against them. Force was used because he didn't surrender. Now he's trying to get the dog away. From 40, 50 feet away, that knife is no threat to me.
Right.
So I need to remove my dog from the chaos of what's going on at the suspect.
Which has got to be easier said than done the dog's probably, you know, if a dog's in a fight, it's probably really hard to get him not to fight anymore.
More than 50% of the time that I run this scenario with agencies that don't cover this initially, they shoot and engage the suspect from distance.
Yeah.
And what happens then? Now you're in a 50-50, does my dog get hit by my own gunfire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah.
So now you may have to live with the idea that you just killed your own dog.
I mean, hopefully they write it off.
This is where we teach.
Well, in Florida, DeSantis just recently, I think last year or this year, maybe it was last year, made killing a canine, I think it's killing a canine a third degree felony to a second degree felony.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Pennsylvania has a couple of neat. Canine Rocco is a dog in 2014 that was killed by a suspect. That he stabbed him up. And there's laws in Pennsylvania that revolve around the killing of Rocco. 2 years to the date, almost, another dog gets stabbed by a suspect and they shoot and kill that guy. Now there's some racial issues and some social racial issues that get played into that. But the first case of Rocco, he gets praised as if he's an officer and laws are made to protect more police canines. And then 2 years later, the officer, they criticize, riot because of it. It's the same city. It's Pittsburgh. Look, wow. Those two cases up.
Is the one where it's kind of like rainy outside and they're kind of like on the side of the road and they release them and the guy, he's kind of mentally ill.
I haven't seen,
because we covered that case.
We covered
a case where he stabs a dog to death. He's mentally ill.
And it was 2014.
He's like in the city, but he's on the side of the road. And it's like a back road, though. It's not a back road, but it's just like a suburban road. It's not like a main throwaway. And there's a guardrail fence, and they let the dog go, and he stabs the dog, and they shoot him. But I don't think we ever, in that case, talked about, you know, can you shoot somebody for shooting a dog? We didn't even touch on that. We just touched on, well, there was a foot chase afterwards, but, so in this case, I mean, do you think these guys are justified? I mean, go ahead and play out the video though. And let's just look at the guy before he gets capped. And thank you for being on top of that first, Josh. I know it's easier.
So this is from the second officer's body worn camera.
Now, also, let's put into a thing that these officers are in Florida. They've been here for 10 hours. They're in full gear. They have masks on because of the gas. So they have gas masks on, which, you know, it sucks. Having a gas mask on for however long they've had them on blows. Yeah, and now it's hot and humid, and you've got some storm clouds, you know, stereotypical Jacksonville, Florida storm clouds rolling in. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. If you've lived in Jacksonville, Florida for more than a week, you know that at 3 p.m. almost on the daily, you get a thunderstorm type shower every single day. So, you know, all that is in these officers' minds right now. Your mind is full. It's not like they have an empty mind. They're not like some kind of samurai where they're just like, empty your mind. No, they have a lot. They have a lot of things running through their head right now as well. And now you got a canine officer screaming at you, don't let him hurt the dog. Don't let him.
That's what I'm saying, Eric. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if I was on the ground, I didn't, you know, he kind of like blew my mind just now when he said that. I know. So as if I was SWAT on the ground and I heard a handler say, don't let him fucking hurt my dog, I'm going to shoot. And it's on you now because you're the shooter.
Yeah.
It's not a canine. I mean, I don't know if there's any liability for him saying that, but now it's on me. And I never even fucking knew that rule.
That's cool, dude. Brings up a good point. He says, with your gas mask and two canisters, you're only getting 65% of your normal air intake, which is also a big deal because, right, you have to have like a full brain of oxygen to be able to think clearly and think straight. Very stressful situation. It doesn't look as, I mean, it looks very easy, but just know that it's not. These guys have a lot of stressors that are going involved. Go ahead and push play again. Here's a different view of it, a different body camera view, and you're really going to be able to see the suspect and what he was doing to the dog with a cake knife. And also seeing that physically, like as a human, and I'm going to bring this up here in a second, is like a crime of passion. Like, I don't know if I could stomach this without feeling the need to pull the trigger and feeling to do something just because I'm a good human. And I don't even like dogs that much. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm not going to be well-liked for this, but now you're taking emotions into your decision.
I know. But it's impossible not to. Still a human. You're not a robot.
I'm with my work dog more than I am my family.
Yeah. So here we go. Watch this.
That can.
Here we go. Here's the knife. Look at this. Boom. I mean, he's looking right at the cop. Maybe that's some saving grace. Maybe you could articulate that he was stiff arming the dog and coming towards the cop. I mean, that's what I would be trying to say. But I mean, he's definitely got a cake sized knife, a very massive knife. And he is, for those of you who are audio listeners, he is definitely swinging that thing to kill that dog. Hopefully they can articulate that, maybe once his eyes came up to the officer was like, nope, shouldn't look at me, bitch. Maybe. I don't know. Do they get off with a crime of passion? Is that a thing? Can cops get off with a crime of passion?
I'm not sure. So, no. I had a couple of things swim through my head there, but I'm only passionate about my wife. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right. I guess, yeah.
This is a tough one, right? So, to address Tyler in this situation, we tell our SWAT guys regularly, you know, if it's just a threat to the dog, we can't nuke them. And this handler definitely contributed to that SWAT officer's mental status, right? This one's a tough one. It's a tough one to watch. Whether I like that suspect or not, does it warrant this, right? We can easily talk about.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think he warrants it because I think the guy's a fucking dirtbag and I don't want him to be around anymore.
Yeah.
But like in a civil court, I don't really see you winning it, I guess, in a civil court. I mean, unless the lawyers are good and they think of things that we didn't think about, like,
I would sit down and I would write an incredible, detailed, articulable freaking story about that suspect pushing the dog away. And now he's within
stiff arming
this officer.
Yeah, he's stiff arming and he's got his eyes on the officer. I mean, he is looking right at that officer, like right in the fucking face.
Yeah.
That's where I would go with that. But what a bad guy that's in it to win it. And, I'm glad that we have.
He's that one percenter for sure.
That capabilities. Now, I guess you're in a neighborhood and you don't want this dude running into another house. I get it. Why you have to stop him right now. You got to stop him. And listen, I don't think that this dude stops regardless of that fucking dog.
No, this isn't, he's gone from fight, from flight, excuse me, to fight. Like he ran towards the team.
Yeah, with this big giant knife. Like if you if you're not in it to win, when you see that rook, like if you still have a weapon in your hand when a rook is chasing you, you're not going out without a fight. And I don't know if the courts understand that or they see that or if that's too Minority Report.
Let's back this up. He's had 10 hours of surrender. Yeah. They've used gas, negotiators, the rook. They've used so many de-escalation tools here. Even the dog, they use less lethal. There's a 40 millimeter deployment here too that we haven't talked about. You can, if you really pay attention, you can hear the thump of a 40 millimeter attempt prior to the dog deployment.
Right.
So they've
went through the continuum.
Yeah. Oh, and options.
So, you know, maybe they are good. Maybe that clears them alone. I mean, there's a lot to a case like this. It would be an intro. And that's probably why they couldn't talk, you know, because he was all excited. He was like, oh, dude, that's an awesome case. You know, he's a canine handler in Jacksonville. So he's very familiar with it. He's like, let me call him right now and see what he's saying. And then he called me back like all bummed that he was like, dude, he would love to. And this guy has been to our meetups. He's been to two of our meetups, this canine that is. So he's a big fan of the show. So he was excited. I felt like I kind of let, you know, maybe he felt like a little bit let down. So I got to try to find a case for him at some point to get him to come on this show. Something he can talk about, but he called me back and was just kind of like, man, the case is still open and they can't talk about it. And I was like, oh, that's okay. I've got a canine guy that I think I can get in here.
Look, I'm glad that the results ended up the way they are. Right. The victim is safe.
Yeah, forever.
Officers are safe. The canine is safe. The only guy that made poor decisions was the suspect.
Now, your SWAT team, do you guys work a lot with your canine?
Not even. We're talking really? Warrants, call-outs, critical incidents. There's no mesh with canine, which has brought a lot of people like, are you serious? Like not even a little bit. And again, you guys both know that there's always politicking going on. And if it's not somebody's idea, it's, you know, and so for the greater cause of SWAT integration with canine, that doesn't play out in a room, in a table full of people. It's, is it my idea? Who's in charge? Liability, rule or, you know, SOPs, right? You know, who gets the final say on SOP, right? Is it the captain above special operations? Is the captain? Sometimes they fall in the same one, like our SWAT team, I think, and canine are both under the same. No, because SWAT falls into higher incident command. So yeah, it's just, I I've always thought too, do you have a SWAT team member that is fully fledged SWAT, like past training, got all of certificates, and then he becomes canine? Mm-hmm. Because then is he a canine handler? Or is he SWAT? Is it full-time SWAT? Is it part-time SWAT? Do you have a guy that's not technically SWAT, but he trains consistently with the team and he would be the best handler out of everybody to be with that team? So maybe they consider him like tactical canine, right? And there's all the types of questions and opportunities.
There's very few agencies in the country that run a SWAT canine, a dedicated canine on the SWAT teams. It's super time consuming. You take the skill set that an operator needs, how time consuming that is. Very few people realize the amount of time that you have to cover with breaching and your less lethal munitions, and then how to operate the Bearcat and the Rook. And it is an ongoing NVGs. I mean, then you got to run everything under night vision, and it's so time consuming. Now throw in another full-time job, a dog that thinks for itself.
Yeah,
it's literally impossible.
Yeah, and then of course then you have to do all your pronoun ethics courses and how you call. I mean, like honestly, when you start adding this stuff up, man, like I hate when people are, you know.
Yeah, it's a good real quick, Eric. It's the same thing as saying like, well, why don't you make him homicide and canine? Like nobody would be like, right. Oh, a homicide detective and canine. He could do both. Like SWAT operator and canine. It's too much.
Right. You got to play CSI and then, you know, work a dog, you know, but I, you know, and that's why, like, you know, a lot of people, we've covered all these cases and, you know, people talk about, well, why doesn't this person train more on his firearm? Or why doesn't this person, why is this person out of shape? Or why is this person this? And why is this person that? And it's like, you have to pick and choose what you want to be good at. And then things have to sacrifice. Like, if you want to be a great homicide detective, you pretty much have to just assume you're not going to be a good family person. Like, you pretty much just have to, like, push your family to side. It's going to be one or the other. You can't be solely dedicated and losing sleep on these cases and diving into the most disgusting and nerve-wracking things. And then also, you know, decide that you want to be a softball player. And, you know, things have to give. You can't be everything to all people. It's like, you know, if you're going to be a good DUI officer, well, then you kind of pretty much have to say, I'm going to suck at, you know, dealing with domestics or something like that. You know, it's one or the other. There's too much training. You know, you could be a great shooter, but, you know, we all know that great shooters are shitty DUI guys, right? Because, like, you can't focus on shooting your gun, all your tactics, your gases, all the things that you're trying to work with, and then also try to be DRE, drug recognition expert, try to go in through DUI stuff, memorizing all your DUI laws and know you do, and then going to court for all the DUIs. When would you have time to train to shoot? So it's kind of like, you know, when you become an officer, you kind of have to pick and choose, like, hey, what do I want to be? What kind of, it's very, very difficult to be a well-rounded cop, you know? And then you add in all your ethics classes and you add in all your CIT classes and your pronouns classes and, you know, your union meetings. You know, it's very easy to be just completely wrapped up. And then, you know,
the best cops are the confident cops, because the guys that are like, damn, he's been in auto theft, property, homicide, canine, SWAT, like, he's done it all and he's 28 years old. And you're like, he's probably just really good at confidence. And, like, you ever seen those guys that, like, are completely wrong, but you're like, well, all right, let's go. Like,
you're right. Yeah. Is he a subject matter expert at anything?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
SME takes years and years, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I was none of those things. I wasn't really good at anything. And that's what made, I was like a well-rounded shitbag. Like, I just sucked at everything, but at least everybody laughed. It brought morale up.
Was I supposed to defend you there?
No.
But Eric, remember what I told you? I was like, I was at work the other day, and a new guy, but he knows his stuff. So, you know, when a guy's got experience, and I was looking at him, he goes, hey, he's like, hey man. And he goes, you podcast? And he was talking about the Anti-Era podcast. I was like, yeah. He goes, do you by chance know an Eric Tanzi? And I was like, yeah, I know Eric. And he goes, oh, he's like, I came from Raleigh PD. And he was like, I think he left like right around the time I started training. And he did 4 years at Raleigh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you his name once we're done.
Did he say I suck or what?
No, he's like, bro, he's a legend down there.
Hey, there we go. Tyler, you just made my day, man. After that ridiculous intro of me.
I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun being a cop, and we had a lot of great great stories. And one day I want to get him on here and we'll tell some stories. But do you guys anything you wanted to add to the finish of this case? Obviously the suspect is dead, no longer with us. And everything is still in litigation. We'll probably do a follow-up Patreon of this once everything concludes. And it looks like I might be able to get these guys on the show, because I think I have enough with the Jacksonville canine handler that I kind of, like, from his voice, I kind of detected that maybe these guys would want to talk. So, you know, maybe in a year from now, 2 years from now, when this case clears, we could bring them on and get their side of the story. But anything else, anything you guys have for follow it up?
Oh man, that was the shortest video we've ever broken down. Like he said, it was about 5 seconds of
yeah, but you know, it's fun to sometimes like talk about. Like, I think a lot of people don't understand like the assets that we have as law enforcement. And when you talk about defunding a police department, you lose a lot of these assets.
That's a great
point. And so, you know, this 10-hour thing could have been, I don't know, just think about how many, you know, ways to use all these assets. And if you defund the police, you take away these assets, you know, nobody got hurt. The dog didn't get hurt. You know why? And here's something, you know, regardless of whether you want to justify the shooting or not, the dog didn't get hurt. Why? Because you had an operator who had won a superior fire, like a superior weapon, a superior training. He put rounds into a bad guy that didn't hit the dog. He did it in a manner that he shot the guy before the guy could even stab the dog. You know, so wow, he really, you know, all that stuff pays off. You know, you could have really had a shit show. You could have a house that was, you know, crumbled at the foundation because nobody knows how to use the Rook. They don't have training, you know, and they tear the building down. You know, this guy could have ran into somebody else's house. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So it's always good to see a case where it all goes right and taxpayer money is put to good use. Yeah,
I'm thankful this is in Florida, not California.
Well, in California,
this is winnable there.
The Rook in California, it doesn't have the EPA emissions. Exactly. So it wouldn't pass emissions. So they can't have that. But they'd have to make the battery powered one. It wouldn't last over a 10-hour standoff, but
look, this is a solid dog, obviously, and great tactics to end this situation. So
very fast dog too. Jesus fuck, a lot faster than that dog we were watching the other day, a couple of weeks ago. But Tyler, what do you guys got coming up next? You got the Marlin episode, the LAPD episode.
Then after that, the next Monday is we're flying in a whistleblower Navy SEAL. That's going to shed light on Operation Red Wings and Marcus Luttrell.
Oh, jeez.
If I'm no guys, longer
breathing. This is the name of the podcast, Anti-Hero. Basically, if you see an episode that has one of your heroes on it, just know that that is their stitch. They shit on your hero. So, like, don't be all butthurt when you get it. Like, know what you're getting into. Anti-Hero.
Yeah, I didn't kill myself if I ever end up dead. Gonna get sick of us.
I love it though. And you own Refracted Wolf Apparel. You're wearing one of the Refracted. I wore one yesterday. Josh is wearing one today. Josh, jump on here and show your shirt off. Look at that. I love that gangsters. One. Living in the gangster's paradise. So you've got some of the coolest operator cool guy shirts out there. I love wearing my favorite is the anti-dancing TikTok shirt.
I'm waiting for the canine one to roll out. I know it's coming.
Oh, you have one.
No, but I don't have a canine one, but that is the most requested because canine is a cult. People say SWAT's a cult.
Preach.
Canine is a cult. You can, a SWAT guy can meet a SWAT guy from across, like, you know, like, oh, I'm a SWAT guy in Florida, I'm a SWAT guy in Cali. They really don't care about each other because they care about themselves. So, like, oh, SWAT, bro. You get a canine guy and a canine guy, they'll talk for hours.
So, it's a true story.
Stupid. Everybody's audio listeners, so we're good. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, shout out to everybody. A lot of paid members though that I want to give a shout out. Diesel Tech Bosco, who also manages the FTS_Wolfpack private page, which anybody can be a part of. And it's really like all hands on deck. You do whatever you want over there, as long as you don't get kicked off of Facebook. By the way, I haven't gotten any Facebook warnings in years until I joined that group. You guys just kind of like encourage me to post memes that I shouldn't post, and then they get taken down and I get a Facebook ban. So thank you guys for being bad influences, but that is a lot of fun. I think there's an FTS, what is it? FTS Fitness, FTS Singles. You guys have formed all sorts of weird groups in there. I love it. I dance around all of them. But Tactical Dudes, paid member in the chat. Michael Hendricks is up in here, guys. Mur530. So Will Cray, as usual, you guys, thank you so much. And if you want to be a paid member, you can be a paid member on YouTube. I think it's $3 a month on YouTube or $3 a month on Patreon. Either way, that helps fund everybody on here, which our first responders or all the staff here does get paid. And that's thanks to you guys. So we love you guys. We thank you. And we'll see you guys next week. Until then, for myself, from Canine Green, from Tyler, Anti-Hero Podcast, Josh Deadleg Media, guns up, giddy up.